What the hell is this?
Anaconda skin.
It's snakes out there this big?
I'm G-Lo.
I am Snick.
And we're
the Ghouls Next Door.
Next Door.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm really into character.
We're talking about Anaconda today, and we're the Ghouls Next Door, the media literacy show from a horror lens, where we explore the real life situations inspire our cinematic fears. And we are closing out 2 months of lots of fun learning about how animals could kill you and why you shouldn't be going outside. And we're closing with we're closing it out with a super funny film that was a great time all around. And we're talking about Anaconda.
Yeah, which I don't think I had seen before this moment. It is from 1997, which is like feels forever ago. And it was funny. It was not scary. It was funny. I will say snakes, real life, scary. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They win scary time. Not a fan. 0 out of 10, would not recommend. But unless they're like little guys, little snakes are cute.
Yeah, but some of them could be really venomous.
Okay, well, not those ones. Even though they're the prettiest, because they're poisonous.
Yeah. The red touch yellow, good for fellow, red touch black. No, bad for fellow. Red touch black, good for dick. The one.
I'm going to trust you that that's accurate. And because I'm not talking about that.
Well, yeah, you're talking about big snakes.
Anacondas.
Yeah.
But
I'm talking about
also,
the little one.
Yeah, I feel like that's the ones that people are going to see more is the little ones.
I don't think
absolutely.
I've ever seen an anaconda. Never will.
It's a big boy. Like, they get really big. Actually, the boys are really small. The women get really big. The girly snakes get huge.
The girlies.
Yeah, the girlies. And they all hang out and, like, are buddies. That's cute.
Oh, I love that.
Only when they're pregnant, but still.
There's
little,
like,
facts. Sprinkling them.
One of my favorite, like, I want to say it was like a Reddit post, was someone who was like, oh, like, they had like a boa, like a pet boa, and they're like, oh, my pet boa is so sweet, like, it'll sleep in my bed right next to me. And someone was like, the snake is sizing you up to see if it can eat you. It's not cuddling you. That's not what snakes do. It is seeing if you are able to be eaten. It's literally like lays next to you to be like, huh, can I we'll give it a few more days.
I'm gonna let it continue to lower their guard against me.
And the person was like, "Aw, thank you."
No. I love that, snake. I love that. I feel honored that you would want to eat me. That's what that person said.
Like, you're just like, oh, we're snuggling. So I think that's really funny. I did want a snake growing up when I was younger. I wouldn't say I was like particularly afraid of snakes. Like, I'm not afraid of snakes as they are. Like, they don't creep me out the way that I know snakes creep other people out. If I'm out in the wild, though, and I see a snake,
absolutely,
like, it's more of just, like, that's dangerous. Like, I'm going to wear boots, you know, when I'm out in the woods. But, like, touching them or whatever is fine. Sometimes they're the little, like, indents around their mouth. And there's some of their scale patterns will be a little trypophobia triggering.
Oh, fair.
Like the holes of it. But I think they're so cute and their little snoots. I follow like snakes and hats on Facebook. So people will post pictures of their snake and they give them little hats and I'm living for it.
Yeah, I love little snake. I feel like if it was like a pet snake, I would absolutely want to see snake. Good boy snake, bad boy snake. I remember we brought up at one point as well. Mm-hmm. Love them. Outside snake, no. Absolutely not. I don't want to see outside snake, similarly to Gabe, in that is danger. And also just like, I am very skittish. I am properly named cat. I'm very skittish at Ron's sudden movements, and snakes are great at sudden movements. That's their mm-hmm. favorite thing, where they're just like, oh, I was still and you didn't see me, and now suddenly I'm here and I'm slithering away, and that's terrifying.
Yeah.
So
it's also scary because it's like, if one bites you, you have to like get it. Like, you have to get it, or at least get a picture of it. And it's like, it's gone. It bit you because it didn't want you to be here and it left. So you have to like go and find it while you're also like, I hope I'm not gonna die. Of, like, and poison. I need this so I don't die. So yeah, there are like a lot of levels of scary, which this film is not. This film has zero levels of scary.
It's just and silly. 10 it's levels fun. Of
fun.
Yeah.
10 levels of goofy goof time. Yeah. I will say personally, it gets massive points for the fact that I do not really ever get to see it, it's not very often that we get to see Latinas as like the heroine of the story, mm-hmm. the final girl kind of, and she was the lead and she had mm-hmm. power, and even if it is J-Lo, who's not the most amazing actress, she also wasn't like the first pick for this, I think. Choosing to feature her and feature Ice Cube was such a great decision on their part that elevated this film that could have been honestly just nothing. Mm-hmm. Could have been like, oh, you spent a lot of money making a lot of really interesting things for the time, but you know, did we need this kind of thing? But I'm thankful to that, because usually it's like, what, Michelle Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Or white people pretending to be.
Yep, they love to do that in the 90s, especially. 90s, yeah. Early 2000s, those are favorite.
Yeah, Alien, looking at you, 80s. So I think it's really... that part of it was really exciting. So it was fun to be like, oh, for this episode, like... I could just have my curls.
Yeah.
You know, my curls. And Kat can be the creature.
I'm a snick.
Yeah, you're snick. Amazing.
I'm scary.
If you aren't watching, please tune in. Or just at least check out the album art to see the amazing work of Kat transforming into snake. I was worried that my gator looked a little too snakeish, so I was like, I can't do it again.
That's fair. It was very good, though. You, like, killed that one. You've been killing all the costumes. We really have been going all out this version of time. The effort we're putting into our looks when we come back for the new year will hopefully be put into our scripts.
Yes.
When we come back. And majorized, maybe. We'll find out.
We'll see. This next time on
Ghouls Next Door.
I hope you enjoyed this year of Ghouls content, and let's close out this super fun, silly series of monster animals that live right outside sometimes by talking about Anaconda. So let me tell you what it's about. Cat just vibing over there.
No, it's I noticed this, like, I was thinking, I'm sorry to interrupt. If I was a snake, I could stim all the time because they slither. They just move around. You know, they just go back and forth. So I was like, I'm just embodying snakeness.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to not distract. I'm done now.
No, you can do what you... Anaconda is from 1997, and it is about a National Geographic film crew is taken hostage by an insane hunter who forces them along on his quest to capture the world's largest and deadliest snake. And it's directed by Luis Losa. And it is a very goofy film. There are some like story things I wish mm-hmm. were different.
That's fair.
And like the decision to incorporate this insane hunter threw me off completely. I was so much more transfixed with that than like, these people shouldn't be here anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, that would have been story enough. And so it's super weird. But the film is essentially that we have this National Geographic team comprised of this white man who often finds himself creeping on indigenous people all over the world, but presumably he really likes South America. Mm-hmm. And he loves finding them, sneaking up on them, and just recording them to put them on TV.
Yep.
Because they know what consent is. They know what that is. And he, hero. Yeah. And then you have, so he is like the, not historian, like I guess the anthro,
my degree. Anthropology. I literally have a degree in it. Anthropology.
He's an anthropologist. And he studies people and he knows where they are. And that part is helpful for like how the shows go. Jennifer Lopez, Jenny from the Block, is the director, which is also fun. There's some Latina directors in here. And she is still very much her. She definitely is Jenny from the Block in this film. She's not pretending to be anyone else. She's definitely from New York. Yeah. And she has a cameraman who's Ice Cube, who is also probably from New York. Mm-hmm. Like they, and it seems like they're friends. Like they go back pretty far. And I will say, I really appreciate how throughout the film, she fights really hard to keep him alive. And mm-hmm. he fights really hard to keep her alive. Like, they genuinely felt like friends. Mm-hmm. And then they have their sound team, which is, what is his name?
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson, thank you. Wow. Wow. I forgot his name. Owen Wilson, and then there's Denise, who I don't know that actress, but they're the sound team. So they were like a sloppy sound team. They weren't really doing sound, which is funny because it's like the people who are making films know how to make films. So you think they would write how to make a film better?
You would think, I mean, it was felt that the vibe was that like it was like volunteer. Like I don't even like the level of commitment that some of the, like specifically Owen Wilson and the sound team, like their whole thing was like, yeah, we're just gonna like go be silly and have sex in the wilderness, even though there's threat of like tons of things that could harm us here.
You can't convince me that National Geographic film teams aren't like that though.
That's fair.
I don't know.
Just disrespectful to the environment.
Not so much disrespectful. I think like you get really close to people that you're filming with.
Okay, I see especially that. That's like, less where I was concerned. Because we're in the nature, dude.
Yes, like, yes. Yeah. But I mean, like sneaking off to have sex in the woods, whatever. Like, you know, I thought it was interesting because it's such a small team, because then they have a host and the host is actually pretty well-lived of a person too. Like he has accumulated a good number of skills that mm-hmm. like you wouldn't expect. And he's like, he's awful. And then he's like interesting at times. Mm-hmm. But it's this very small team, which would be, I have never worked on a National Geographic or a nature documentary of any kind. I've never traveled to South America. I've never done those things. But I imagine when you're working on a production where you're, for lack of a better word, infiltrating these intimate communities, these isolated communities, you probably need a small team to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine this would be kind of close to real. Again, mm-hmm. I don't know. So if you work for National Geographic or nature documentary companies and you've been out there on the Congo and stuff, let me know. The Congo, but, you know, on the rivers.
Places where there's animals and people that you don't see often.
Right. And so the story sets out where it's like, okay, we found them. We know where this elusive indigenous tribe is. And it's like a notorious tribe that is known for not wanting to be seen. Mm-hmm. No one's ever seen them. So they're like, let's go see them. Yeah,
it is. Let's go do the one thing that like clearly they don't like it.
We should go see them. So, and they're like super excited about it. It's like, this is the, I don't know. I wanted more of that. I wanted more about like, they've been on missions together. They, mm-hmm. what have they captured before? Why her? Why this guy? Why this guy? And then they have like their local guide, which Mateo, who is like their, he steers the ship that they take down the river. And because again, I've never really been on these things. So I was just like, how fun, like, where do the rivers go? Why is it so hard to find them? Can't you just go down?
Yeah, just go down.
Eventually, you run into him. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But there's like bends you have to take and forks in the stream. I don't know. But it starts out really exciting, where it's like they're gonna go and they're gonna find these people. And I was like, okay, cool. This is gonna be a great film about how we shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
Like these people are gonna go somewhere that they shouldn't.
Yeah, and then get snacked.
They're gonna get snicked because, like, the indigenous people that they're talking about worship or like have an appreciation and an understanding and wonderment associated with the anaconda.
Yeah.
Which we see at the beginning. They give us a little little description where it's just like some tribes worship them as gods, mm-hmm. and they're really big. They're very, very big and deadly. And it was like, okay, you could have said that in the scenes, and you did. So I didn't need this.
Yeah.
I didn't need this little slide. Trust me as a viewer that I'm going to figure that out. But so I was like, I think that would be really interesting to see these people coming in and being in a place they shouldn't be and not... Like, I wanted the message to be not to do that or to do it differently. But yeah. I guess, like, they were trying to make it, like, you know, these are supposed to be respectful creators. They were still pretty goofy, like you said.
Yeah.
Feel super respectful.
They didn't feel super respectful. And they just didn't seem like they knew what they were doing, like, at all. Which I would think that, like, you would have to go to a training or something to be able to traverse this location and like just like knowing like the plant life and things that could kill you there would be super important, like knowing what kind of bugs and venomous whatevers exist in these spaces so that like you do a good job and you don't need random boatman to do all that for you suddenly.
Because what if you wasn't there? It's also like it does feel like, is this their first rodeo? Kind of thing. Yeah. Because some of them seem to have a rapport while others don't necessarily. Like it's like it could just be that we care about people and that's why we're concerned about their well-being. Mm-hmm. More so than it's like I know this person mm-hmm. for a long time. But yeah, I agree. It's just like I don't know. So where the film takes this turn is introducing this insane hunter, John Voight character, who's supposed to be South American, because they start out in Brazil and then where was he from? Paraguay or something. Mm-hmm. And so it's just this white man with an accent the whole time. His accent's not terrible, but it was weird because
yeah.
And I was like, what's going on? But he's introduced, like, so he's this guy who's on a boat and it seems like, something went wrong. He ran out of fuel or something. And so they're like, okay, come on board. Reasonable. You know, you want to help someone. Is someone stuck in the wilderness?
I don't go outside enough to have a good
I would, yes, you would help
I
them.
Think that's what you should do. But then every time a movie happens, it's like, why would you do that?
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. But they
they're
do right. that.
You should help people when you're outside. Absolutely.
You should help them. Their boat is going to sink. You don't just let people drown.
I'm a hermit. It's okay.
The problem, the problem comes from, like, he immediately starts acting sus. And they start to, like, peep that, but don't really do anything about it. And when they do try to do things about it, they're too civil, they're too nice. And so it's like subtle things that they'll say, like subtle defiance against him, which leaves space for him to then sneakily mess them up.
Yeah.
And sabotage them.
He sucks.
He does. He's so, but like to me, I was just like, why? Like when he first was introduced and it was clear he's trying to get these people to the snake, like it didn't occur to me that he's like, they do mention he's like a poacher essentially.
Yeah.
And he's just like poacher, blah, blah, blah. But the whole time at the beginning, I was like, does this man, like, is he working for the snake? Like, is he on the snake's payroll? Because he's, like, trying so hard to get these people there. He was like, come in, mama, with your snacks. Like, what?
Yeah, I got snacks for you.
I brought you a whole boat full of snacks, mama. You know that's how I do. I don't get it. It was so weird.
Yeah, he had, like, signed a deal with the snake ahead of time.
Because, like, he didn't need all those people. Like, why? I don't know, because it feels like a con.
Why couldn't he just go on boat? Yeah, like, he had his own boat. Like, why did he have to sabotage his boat to get on this boat specifically?
Yeah.
To get to the snacks.
And clearly he's been in there. He's been in and out. He's associated with different people. He's associated with Mateo, the captain, though they don't say that. But they give each other a look.
Yeah, they always look sus towards each other the whole time.
I'm like, come on. And, like, yeah, everyone's just, like, too slow and too trusting. And, again, as they start to untrust, that's when, like, things get weird. But as they venture in, things happen. Their anthropologist suffers a accident, questionable accident. So he's out. He's out for a count. He's not dead. But they're like, we need to get him to a hospital. And, like, how much gas they have and how long it takes and how much gas gets them to wear and how many days changes a lot.
Throughout, yeah.
Like, because it's like, we only have this much gas that'll get us to this area by this time. And then the next time, like, when we lose that gas, it's like, now we only have this much gas, so we can only do this. We have one option left. But then they're doing a lot for a long time.
Yeah. Well, they're counting on us not doing the math.
It was like, you had to run out by now. It's silly. And they keep being like, I'm looking for gas. And then...
Yeah. I wish they just let the snake be the bad guy, because I feel like this man just distracts so much from the snake that you're like, is this called Anaconda or is it called this guy we found on the water? You know?
Yeah. I will also say, it's like a, oh man, what, Paul or something?
Maybe.
Savano or something? I think the whole gas, like, we don't have enough gas thing really didn't have enough weight in the situation for them to have to go so hard about the fact that they lost a lot of their gas, because you could have just told us we only have this much reserved to get to this location, so now we're going to use it. But then they, like, showed us a bunch of gas, and then they were like, okay,
dumped it in the water too, which
us when it was dumping, so we didn't know before it was being dumped that was even there. Uh-huh. So, like, the sense of danger was already there. So it was, like, a weird choice. Like, they were trying, I feel like they were trying to fight against people who were going to be like, wait a minute. But nobody was doing that. So they end up in snake territory so that this man can feed offerings to the snake. No, he wants to get it. He wants to get the snake because it's very big. And he wants her alive. And, He mentions, like, we need bait, and he definitely uses a monkey as bait, and that's really sad. Yeah. But when he says it, he's, like, looking at Owen Wilson, and he's like, we need bait.
Yeah, which is you. Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, that whole thing where he's, like, evil, he really was the villain the whole time. And for something that's supposed to be this kind of, like, inspired by Jaws creature feature, it was so not about the creature at all.
Yeah.
It wasn't even really about people and what they do in times of crisis either, because it was such an absurd situation.
Yeah, it was about, like, don't trust people who want to get on your boat. Like, that's literally, like, the plot of the movie was, hey, if someone's in danger, don't help them. Don't help them, because you know what will happen? They will sacrifice you to snakes. Like, absolutely, that is the plot of the film. When it was pitched as giant snake eat people. So scary. And I mean, anacondas aren't really going to be, like, finding you all the time unless you're in the water. It's really only if you're in the water that they're like, ooh, snack. And then they'll happily eat you. But, like, they don't really, like, seek you out otherwise. Mm-hmm. If you're in their place, obviously, they're going to snack. But...
And I just wonder, like, what, I guess I don't know much about the poaching industry, but, like, what do they need the live snake for? Because he's like, I'll get so much more money if it's alive. And he just, I just don't get him. I don't get his whole thing, and I hate that he was a villain the whole time. It was really annoying.
It was hard to understand his motivation, Like, it's like, why do you need Snake alive? It was 100% the question that I was like, I don't get what you achieve from this. Other than, like, I also, like, you could just get a baby Snake and then grow it. If it's so important that, like, you capture the snake. I don't know. That's true. And they have, like, 80 babies at a time. So it's not that hard.
Yeah. And I think his, like, him being the villain took up so much of the space of the plot that everything else fell to the side and felt really rushed. And even when they're, like, interacting with the snake, it felt lackluster. And I just, like, didn't care a lot of the time. It also, so for all the, like, extensive amount of work that went into the making of this film, because it there's a lot going on. And they gotta do it right. They didn't actually just go in there and film a real snake and you know it because it looks super goofy. But for all that, it's like you waste amount of time making this, like, doing all this stuff when that was such a last minute thing. Like, at least with, like, Jaws, the suspense and the tension was enough that we don't need to see the shark all the time. And that when we do see the shark, it feels really powerful. Because we've been building up for so long. But with this, nobody cared. It showed up and it was so silly, and the way it wraps him up is too fast and goofy. It feels like this should be an animated film. So we'll say that the film received a lot of negative reviews, but at the time it was a big box office success, because I think it was, you know, bringing in people, because it was a fun creature feature. It is, you know, like I said, inspired by, like, the Jaws fandom, of creating. And so it actually grossed $136.8 million worldwide. Wow. While only costing $45 million to make. And it secured itself as, like, a cult classic. And then there's other films that happen because of it. Because, of course, I do remember seeing, like, Anaconda 2 on the TV once or something.
Yeah, there's, like, a handful of them. They have a few movies.
I believe I've seen Anaconda when I was younger, because I was a big fan of Jennifer Lopez, so I wouldn't watch anything she was in. But it wasn't something that was, like, a core memory at all.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I haven't. But some things to note about the making of Anaconda, just because the plot really is not as important. But one thing I wanted to mention was I found this article on Screen Rant called 10 Things You Never Knew About Anaconda. And I thought it was really funny because there's, like, three parts where they're like, here are the names of a bunch of actors we wanted to play in this film, and they didn't want to. So it's like, for Paul Cerone is what his name is, who's the big bad, who's played by John Voight, Angelina Jolie's dad. He got the part, and he's fine. I think he was sufficiently a weirdo. He was such a creep.
Yeah, he's definitely scary.
He's super as a human. Scary and gross, and he played it well. But the other people who were considered were Sean Connery and Tommy Lee Jones, who declined it outright. But also Jack Nicholson, Martin Sheen, Kirk Douglas, John Malkovich, Liam Neeson, and Harrison Ford were also considered. And just were like, no, we didn't get it. Then for Terry Forez, who is played by Jennifer Lopez, was considered, the role was considered for Jennifer Aniston, Kate Beckinsale, Nicole Kidman, Sandra Bullock, Kim Basinger, Gillian Anderson, and Juliana Margulies, and they all declined. I will say that Gillian Anderson, after declining the role of Terry, did audition for Denise, the other woman in the film. And the other actors who were considered for that were Cameron Diaz, Gwyneth Paltrow, Terry Hatcher, which is just, to me, that was just really funny. And then Ice Cube, who plays Danny in it, the camera person, was the people that were considered for that role was Bill Murray, Will Smith, and Ving Rhames, as well as Keith David, who was well known for being in horror movies of the time, and we would have loved to see him survive too. Dr. Kale, who is the anthropologist. Why I'm slipping up on that word today. It's a big one for Elmo. people who are considered for that was Billy Crystal, Michael J. Fox, Ben Stiller, Ray Romano, Dennis Quaid, and Dave Foley. But back to the... So in that same article, 10 Things You Never Knew About Anaconda, they talk about the animatronics and computer, the CG of the film, which is... super silly, but I will say the animatronics was kind of cool to look at, and the contraptions they had to make, and also like the boats that they had to work with to make this film. It just like, it makes me sad because it is super silly looking. Like, I don't know what they actually look like, so I'll have to look up a like a picture of actual
anaconda. I will say it's not so far off. I think considering how goofy snakes just actually are, they didn't do that bad. But if you don't know how goofy snakes actually are when they're gigantic,
but their heads are still small. Like, they still have like the big head and then little snoot.
Yeah.
And this doesn't have that. It's too wide. Like, it's like a big head. It's silly. It's so silly. I'm like looking up anacondas and they look cute. This thing looks cute. Yeah. It looks a little derpy, but it looks cute. And the thing that you that they put in this movie is silly as heck. Apparently CGI was very expensive at the time. So every second of screen time depicting the CG snakes cost $100,000. Every second. It costs that. That's gross. No wonder they did the animatronics. We should go back to that. We should pretend that it costs that much and that AI isn't real. The two primary snakes that were featured in the film were made as animatronics primarily. So the queen snake, which is a 40-foot model, weighed roughly 5,000 pounds, which is 2.5 tons. And then the second warrior model was a device that measured 25 feet and roughly 1,500 pounds. So about half or less than half of that big one. And I saw this like video that was like behind the scenes and you see it like moving. And I was like, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Some things about like just filming and tech things. They did a lot of ADR, which is like when you're, it's kind of like dubbing, right? So you're recording audio that's not happening in the scene. And a lot of that was because when they first recorded scenes and things, they used more explicit language. And that was giving them an R rating and they were like, we don't want to do that. So they dubbed people with ADR and it's funny because it does not match. And they said Ice Cube has a lot of dubbed up things, whereas it's like freaking and other things. And I think that's really funny. There was also the boats that they used to create the film was also kind of wonky. So they had, they made this contraption so that they can put a camera underwater and bring it up. So you can have that like movement of the snake, interacting with them. And they also had a bunch of, boats that they used to create the scene. So they have like, 5 work barges, 5 skiffs, 15 canoes, and 5 faster shuttle boats, that they used to get all these different scenes.
Very cool.
There's also a scene where they shot it, the way that it's played is backwards, and it's next to the waterfall, and I didn't notice this because I was caught up in the action of the scene, but if you were looking, the water is going up. It's clearly going backwards.
Funny.
Yeah. And I think that's, yeah. So things like that are always really fascinating to me. When you have so much work that gets put into the making of, and like, I love practical effects. And so like, one of the biggest thing that happens in the film, and what you know about anacondas, is that they curl up. And they crush,
constrict.
They constrict. That's the word. Thank you. Their prey, and so they would do this really super goofy thing where it would like wrap them up, but it would wrap really, really fast, and the people would be like, "Woo!" And they're like, "Oh!" And it's so clearly fake and silly. And then the snake would show up, and just be like, "Hey, hey, hey. Gotcha. I'm gonna eat you, but not really. I don't want to really eat you
because I'm a robot."
But maybe, maybe snakes do love to just play around with their food. So that could be
they
true.
They do murder them like that, like quickly, if you will.
They do murder quickly or not.
They do, yeah.
Do they play with them?
It really depends on how you react. If you're panicking, like everyone in this movie was, yes.
Well, okay, what are the options? Because I'm getting wrapped up by a gigantic snake. First of all, I'm wondering how I got here in life. I'm playing
how
back
are you near the snakes?
A lot of sequences of events that led me to this moment in time very quickly, but then I'm immediately panicking. Like, that's guaranteed.
Freak out. Absolutely.
For sure. That snake's going to know I don't like this.
Yeah. And that's the wrong thing to do.
Of course it is. I get, like, these animals, like, you really have to just, like, impenetrable.
You used to be the calmest person that ever was. Unless it's wolves, then you have to be really upset.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, I feel like you really have to trust, like, the animal interactions. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to become the animal. Like, you have to understand that, like, they don't like you have to
you
put
have
yourself
to be one with the snake.
To be one with the snake. You become a snake. No, like, because you can't operate the same way we operate with people. Like, we try to de-escalate a people. It's a different process, right? There are words. They're like a process that you have to do, and you learn that so that you can avoid disastrous situations or uncomfortable situations. Yeah. But animals, you have to learn an entire new language and like conversation that has to occur. And you have to trust that this animal knows that.
Yeah.
Like, you have to convince the animal that you are an animal. And we are, but we're not, you know?
Yeah. You have to convince it, like, it doesn't want none.
Yeah, we're bougie animals, and we have to show them we're not.
We taste gross. Don't eat us.
This is honestly,
I am filled with chemicals and recessive genes. So you don't want this. Actually, yes.
You have to convince them that you are, in fact, Jenny from the block. Like, I'm still Jenny from the block.
Yeah, I'm gonna fight you.
Now I have a lot, but I'm still Jenny from the block, and that's what you have to do. But as an animal, like, I walk on two legs. Yeah, I can do math, kind of. And I can build structures better than
you
a beaver.
You can do math? I can't do math.
I said kind of, first of all. And then, but you gotta be like, but I could still throw hands, okay? I could still survive.
I got hands and feet to kick and punch.
I got opposable thumbs, buddy.
Evolution and take that off of me.
How about that?
Snack.
Huh?
Yeah.
These canines. Yeah. Why don't you tell me about snakes?
Yeah, you got it, friend. So I learned some stuff about anacondas. I watched like a whole documentary about it. It's called The Silent Killer Anacondas. It was very silly. It's fun. It's fun. It made me know that like snakes are not so far away, depending on where you live. So if you live like where water is all the time, snakes could be there. Specifically like warm water. Or like if you use like agriculture in that way, or have like water like throughout your towns. Mm-hmm. Snakes love that. They think that's the best. And they love to be near people because people have pets and they like to eat their pets. specifically like livestock, dogs, cats, like anything that's like gonna be around because people are there. So the snake's best friend, their favorite meal of all time. They're less like is about like best eating friend. You. Yeah, they want to eat your best friend specifically. But snakes don't see like we do, which is pretty interesting. They see heat and they kind of travel towards heat. Their predators. Eyes are very important to them in that they use that as their main hunting mechanism. So if you're encountering a snake and you would like it to go away, their eyes, they don't want their eyes to be touched because they're important to them for hunting. So that's a good.
I don't want my eyes to be touched.
One in the two. Not important to hunting. To get out of snake time, you go for the eyes, is actually what they say. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, anacondas can live near people to eat their livestock. They love warmth, specifically hiding inside an entire car sometimes. You know, anywhere that like gives off a heat signature, they're like, ooh, nice, nice little warm spot to hang out because they do not want to be cold.
Same.
They love still water specifically for having babies who can hunt small prey like frogs and other things, but they often don't survive long because of their smaller size. It's actually hard for anacondas to find enough prey to get as big as we see like in this film. They do get pretty big, but growing that big is also sometimes bad for them because if they get too big, their lungs will collapse upon themselves if they're on land. If they're in water, they're totally fine. They're chilling. They're living their best life. But if they get on, if there's like a dry season and they're not in like a swamp or something, if they get too big, that can literally kill them.
It's just like the megalodon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just can't be on land.
Too big to succeed.
Because of gravity. The crushing weight of gravity that you feel if you ever step outside of water. Like, if you go for a long swim and you're like, wow, gravity's back. I hate this. I wish I could just be back in water. That's what snakes feel, too. we're like, wow, how did I just was so light in the water. How am I so heavy outside of the water? That's all snakes as well. So there's a bunch of different kinds of anacondas, specifically four kinds. It's not a bunch, but like enough, a handful, you know. There's a green. There are yellow anacondas. Let me make sure I get the right ones. Dark spotted anacondas. There's like from different places too. So the yellow anaconda is also Paraguayan anaconda. We have the dorsal anaconda and Anectis genus, which is the Bolivian anaconda. I don't know if I said
that one sounds rad.
Yeah. There's four different kinds. They all get pretty big. Green anacondas is the ones that we see in this film. They're the one most commonly known by people. Green anacondas can grow more than 29 feet, weigh more than 550 pounds, and measure more than 12 inches in diameter. Females are significantly larger than males and like live longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why they get bigger. So other anaconda species, all from South America, and are smaller than the green anaconda. The green anaconda is the big one.
Hmm.
And then yellow, dark spotted, and Bolivian varieties are smaller generally. On land and water, they can live in swamps, marshes, and slow-moving streams, mainly in the tropical rainforests of the Amazon or the Orinoco basins. They are cumbersome on land. They do not like to be there, but they're stealthy and sleek in water. They struggle on land. Their eyes and nasal openings are on the top of their heads, allowing them to lay and wait for prey while remaining nearly completely submerged in the water. And I got this information from National Geographic, just so
nice. And that's
knows.
Who is out there making the film.
Yep. Diet and hunting. They are monumental size. So they can eat wild pigs, deer, birds, turtles, capybaras, caimans, and even jaguars. Anacondas are non-venomous.
It did eat that jaguar at the beginning of the film.
It did, yeah. Non-venomous constrictors, coiling their muscular bodies around captured prey and squeezing, giving them a big old hug until the animal asphyxiates and their jaws attached by a stretchy ligament that allow them to swallow their prey whole, no matter the size. They can just go. Just like unhitch their jaw.
Mm-hmm.
Just like,
yeah.
Their mouths are so scary looking. When I first did my makeup, I literally like did it here so that I could just have this whole thing be my mouth. But then I couldn't figure out how to like do the inside of their mouth. So Yeah, no matter the size, they can go weeks or months without food after a big meal. For reproduction, female anacondas retain their eggs and give birth to 2 or 3 dozens of live young. Baby snakes are about 2 feet long, and when they're born, they're almost immediately able to swim and hunt.
Wait, live lifespan. Young, not eggs?
So anacondas are cool in that they have eggs, but they keep them inside and they hatch inside, so they give birth to them.
So it's like both. That's crazy.
Yeah, because they don't want their eggs to get eaten by predators. They just keep them.
That's insane. I guess, like, people, we keep our eggs inside.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
We keep our eggs inside.
Because they're like, wow, people really love to eat. Like, they took the lesson from turtles, the devastation that is turtles.
And they became good
parents. Their babies just
get
annihilated by, like, local animals that just eat the heck out of them. And it's devastating because they're so stinking cute. And then they all get murdered. And it makes me so sad. Snakes were like, absolutely not.
No, I'm going to protect my babies.
Bad parents over there. Turtles, bad parents. Call somebody. It's a problem. The snakes are here to keep the babies with them the whole time. And my favorite fun fact is that, okay, so... the men snakes will like really try to like they wrestle each other to gain access to being the best snake boy in town to get access to like mating. Mm-hmm. And then after mating, a lot of the times the female snake will just eat them afterwards because they're like, you know what? They're vulnerable. And also I'm gonna use this to feed my babies because they don't eat their entire pregnancy. So after mating, they'll just eat the boy snake, and then just live off of that until the baby's hatched.
Little sacrifice. He sacrificed.
Yeah. That's why they get so big. That's what I'm saying.
So he tried, so they fight so they could go,
and die.
Death by snoo snoo or whatever.
Yeah. And get cannibalized. And apparently anacondas love to cannibalize each other. It's a big thing. They're all about eating each other. They're all about eating other snakes, snake relatives. They don't give a crap.
Why are they so savage?
Yeah, they're just like, you know what? You're here. I'm going to want a snack. And hungies. Yeah.
Snack.
And the babies, though, they will not eat the babies until, like, they're adult snakes, essentially. Like, they really will, like, leave them alone.
Rules.
And, like, female snakes will, like, when they're pregnant, they'll, like, go hang out with each other. Like, they're usually very, like, anti-hanging out with each other unless there's, like, every once in a while you'll see, like, a group of anacondas, female anacondas that are, like, just chilling in the sun, like, having a party.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really know why. Like, they think it's, like, a weird science thing. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you all hanging out? Because, like, generally you don't do that. And they don't eat each other. They just kind of, like, bask in the sun and, like, have, like, their moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it could be because, like, if more than one is pregnant, then they're, like, protecting each other.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
But yeah, so it's a little thing. They, like, hang out. They have a little party and hang out in the sun.
That's cute. Mom's club.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's very cute. But so there's a bunch of different kinds of anacondas, but all four share similar traits. This is from A to Z Animals. Essentially, they all share the following traits. They're semi-aquatic in lifestyle, extremely skilled swimmers. They primarily live in wetlands and swamps through South America's hottest and most humid regions. Their name in ancient Greek loosely translates to good swimmers, so like anacondas specifically. They do not have venom, not like boas. Anacondas are non-venomous. Boa constrictors are. They bite with venom and constrict to murder. Anacondas just do big squiz and squeeze you and you're like,
yeah.
They have very long, bulky bodies. Anacondas are among the largest and longest snakes in the world. That's why they made a movie about it, because it's like they look scary, genuinely. The green anaconda in particular is the world's largest and heaviest snake and can reach over 15 feet. Their strong muscles, they use them to constrict and suffocate their enemies. They have flexible jaws. They're most likely to have elongated skulls and bones in their skulls that allow them to like open their jaws and eat people. Well, yes, eat things.
Animal people.
Yeah. And they love to be in swamps, specifically low-lying swamps throughout South America, including areas of Brazil, Colombia, Venezuela, and Argentina. And yeah, they're just kind of like hanging out They will eat each other. They will eat their friends. They have no qualms. I also, there was no WikiHow for anacondas. So I had to do a different research. And I don't even know if this one was better. I watched this, like, it was an interesting YouTube video. But, like, also, like, it made me sad because they had this moment in there. So it's called How to Survive. It's a show. They do, like, how to survive different animals. It's on YouTube. And essentially in this video, there was this man, and I don't recommend watching it because it upset me, because I was like, why would you hurt the snake? It's just living its life. And I don't think they did this. I think they just pulled video from another person who volunteered to be eaten live by a snake. Like, had a special suit so they wouldn't get digested and stuff. And we're in there for over an hour, and then, like, only got out because, like, they thought the snake was going to break their arms because they were in there for so long. And they were like, you're not letting me digest you, get out of my body. Like, this isn't, this isn't for you. And then when he's rescued, the assumption is, they didn't say, but that they killed the snake because they had to get the guy out of it. And I was like, then why would you,
why'd you put the guy in there?
Yeah, it was just really rude. So I was like, don't watch the video.
Why couldn't they just put a dummy in there?
I just don't even know, like, how to survive snake. Like, why did we need to include this guy?
Yeah.
Who clearly was really rude. And they call him, like, a naturalist. But I was like, that's not natural. If you want to be a naturalist, get eaten by the snake and then die. Like, you don't need to break the snake open to get him out. I was like, I don't think this guy's actually a naturalist. That doesn't, I don't know what they actually do. So either way, I watched this video called How to Survive Snakes. And it was informative, other than that moment that I didn't like. So they say the following. They say that you should watch the snake's face and see what it's doing with its tongue, specifically.
Okay.
Snakes will flick their tongue to show aggression. They do this, like, they, you know, little thing. They will do that specifically when they're trying to be aggressive. They're not doing it to be cute as it generally would look. They're doing it to be like, hey, I'm here to fight. I'm here to eat you. So you got to look and pay attention if the snake's doing that with their tongue. And they say, if you do get bitten by an anaconda specifically, do not try to pull your arm or whatever they bit out of the snake's mouth. Do not do that. Instead, push whatever part of you has been bitten by snake further into snake to dislodge said thing from snake's mouth. Because, and it's a good reason, it's not like a lion where you're like, why would you put your face near its mouth? This instance, they have the teeth on the inside that go the opposite way.
So
it's like a trap. Like, yeah, and then if you pull yourself out, you get yourself further caught in the snake's mouth. So what you're supposed to do is actually push yourself further in to dislodge yourself from its fangs, which will actually help you free yourself from that situation. So if it bites, do not pull away, because the backwards teeth will, like, get you more stuck, and it'll be easier for them to, like, suck you into their bodies.
Savage.
More. Yeah. So they say, ideally, don't go into snake territory by yourself, because you will probably need help doing that. If you're bitten by a snake, it's really hard to, like, just do that yourself. You need someone to hold the snake so it's not moving, and you need someone to help open its mouth so you can push yourself further in to unhook yourself from its teeth. So they say go in pairs. Ideally have someone that can help you fight off this anaconda. Once you're released, luckily it is not venomous, so you'll probably be okay. You might have a cut, a gash or so, because their teeth are sharp. Yeah, reasonably. So if you're in anaconda territory, they basically say, which is, like, what their advice is hard because it's really hot where all the anacondas live. Mm-hmm. It's like South America. So if you're in anaconda territory, they do say to wear preventative gear. So, like, tough things, like, you need to wear sleeves and strong boots and strong pants and all that other stuff, because otherwise they could bite you and that would hurt.
Yeah, I was feeling that, like, when they were venturing out into the woods or the jungle, I was like, they're wearing, like, shorts and tank tops. And I understand that it's hot, but it's like, anything in there you can accidentally brush upon and now you're paralyzed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, there's so much venomous stuff down there. It's, like, really silly. They just have, like, their whole bodies out. Even with not, like, your whole body is out to get caught by snake. other than that, they say if you have unfortunately been in the situation where you are constricted by the snake has gotten you. It has done that funny twist and like you are wrapped up. They say the most important thing in general is to not breathe. Hold your breath, because every time you exhale, the snake will feel it and squeeze tighter. It's trying to suffocate you. So if you hold your breath, you're giving yourself more time to escape and help keep you from getting more broken bones, because it's strong enough. Like its squeeze strength is like 142% stronger than like its body. Like it's like 9,000 PSI or whatever. Like it was something crazy. Like, let me see if I can find it. But like it can squeeze you a bunch. Really hard, like way harder than it even makes sense mathematically. They have really strong squeezing abilities. Like it's not a hug you want to be a part of. So they say do not breathe, hold your breath, because that gives you more time for someone to help you, as well as like keeps it from continuing to constrict and break your bones and thus hurt you more and suffocate you more. So yeah, it just like prolongs the amount of time you have to be rescued. And prolongs the amount of time that you can get out. If you hold your breath, it will not constrict further, because that's the signal, is it wants you to breathe out so it can crush you. They also just say, like, don't go in water where you know anacondas are. Like, if you're on a boat, do not go in the water. That's the worst thing you could do. Mm-hmm. They are really good swimmers. They are slow on land. So if you want to survive, don't go in the water. They also say that you can bite the snake back. Their tails are very sensitive. Specifically, if you bite its tail, there's a very sensitive, like, in terms of its pain tolerance. Mm-hmm. It might let go of whatever it has if you bite its tail. And they also say to hit its eyes. They use their eyes to hunt. It is very bad for their eyes to get injured, because they don't have, like, other than, like, touch, they don't have other sensors to help them hunt. So if you go near their eyes, they actually are likely to retreat, because they don't care want about them hurt. And they yeah. don't want them to get hurt. So it's more likely that they'll release their prey. It is rude if you did try to like permanently hurt their eyes. I know you're trying mm-hmm. to escape a snake. Don't do that though. That's like their main way of hunting. And it's rude. Just don't do that. Like, you're in their space. You don't need to murder them because they were just doing what they're doing mm-hmm. and you're invading their space. But yeah, so that's like the biggest thing to get out of snake time is don't go in water, hold your breath, and remember that their teeth are face the opposite way on the inside. So if you're stuck, push inward and then pull out, hoping that like you'll initiate their lack of gag reflex, but like you'll initiate them to open their mouth more because they think you're going in, and mm-hmm. then you'll be able to get yourself and pull yourself out. Yeah, those are my snake facts.
Thank you.
You will likely survive as long as you do those things. And you have someone there. If you're by yourself, it's very unlikely you're going to get out of snake time. You got to bring a friend to help you out of that situation.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to go get eaten by the snake if you want to help me out really quick.
Yeah, and it's just, like, more than one person is just a better idea. Like, if they, at any point in this film, stopped panicking for, like, 2 seconds and worked together, so many less people would have gotten in. And, like, and at the end, where we have J-Lo and Ice Cube, like, they figured it out that if you work as a team, you mm-hmm. can win against the snake.
Yeah, they it's really just did. A snake. Ultimately, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
like the guy was definitely the worst part of it, and they were like, oh, okay, yeah, you got it, yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And it is common that they'll catch people and then use that to feed their babies at first, like if there's enough babies.
That's cool, I learned so much about snakes,
yeah, they're cute little friends as long as you don't go like swimming.
Mm-hmm. Respect nature, dude. I think that's the thesis of this entire series, is that nature yeah. be nature, and you gotta just respect it. We're mm-hmm. here too, and you're in their space, and be nice.
Yeah, like don't go up in their space and be mad when they try to eat you. Like that's the whole thing. That's what existence is in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you have ever survived a snake attack or any type of animal attack, you and animals.
Or if you have cute little snake friends that you have at your house.
If you have cute snake friends that you have at your house and you want to send us pictures of them, you can at theglowsnextdoor@gmail.com. And let us know how you feel about snakes. How you feel about the movie Anaconda. Did you enjoy it? Is it fun? Are you one of the diehard cult fans of this film? Yeah, and I think it's kind of up there too, because like you were saying before we were recording, Kat, that the fact that Ice Cube lives is a big deal. Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal at the time.
It's like that.
In the 90s,
like
they were really horrible about that.
Yeah, yeah. LL Cool J, and then you have... There's a few.
Yeah.
and we keep those safe. Yeah, it was an interesting film. It is super goofy, and I think that made it fun. I just, like, really couldn't stand that guy, and
yeah.
He made it not a fun time.
He sucked.
But I hope you enjoyed your year with the ghouls. We look forward to a new year, new us, same us, but
new snakes.
Yeah, we're gonna
be out here
shed the skin of 2023 and have a nice new soft and shiny
garbage year.
Yeah, skin for 2024. Nice.
Here's hoping, man. Mm-hmm. It better be.
Like, burn out. And like, put that back into the universe.
And yeah. Just like everything, just pee better everywhere, hopefully.
Yeah, so thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed parts of 2023. We can ignore some of the other parts. Enjoy your holidays. And we'll see you in 2024 when we talk about something new. So don't get married.
They'll eat your kids. Or to make kids, you'll get eaten to sustain the babies.
Yeah. And that's a sacrifice. And I think you should make it. Okay, bye.
Bye.